Young. Happy Thursday, Sonny.
Happy Thursday to you, Kim.
Well, Sonny, I understand you are beginning with a soccer player from Sierra Leone.
Kim, the Sunny Side of Sports Spotlight is shining this evening on Kai Kamara, the striker for Sierra Leone and the Columbus Crew in Major League Soccer. The 31-year-old Kamara is coming off the most productive season of his MLS career. He was the league's joint leading scorer with 22 goals during the regular season. And with 4 goals, Kamara was the top goal scorer in the 2015 MLS playoffs. Columbus reached the MLS Cup final before falling at home to the Portland Timbers 2-1. VOA's Rick Narcisse reached Kai Kamara after a Columbus training session and asked him, how do you plan to top your 2015 season?
Just be focused. It's a very important year when you have a season like we did as a team, and also me individually. It's really good, but then always just coming back from that and continue to doing almost the same thing or better than you did. So it's really being focused, and for me, just to have the same connection as I did last year with my teammates and just continue to work hard, because it's really good time in my career right now that I need to continue being at my best.
How important is winning the MLS Cup to you?
Winning the MLS Cup is all I play for right now. Obviously, earlier in my career, you know, I enjoy the game. I want to play. I want to score goals. But right now, my focus is just winning the cup. I've been in this league for 10 years playing. I really miss a cup in a few different teams that I've played for. So definitely right now, if I can win the MLS Cup, it's really all that I'm playing for.
What did you try to focus on this offseason to be better this year?
The offseason was all about resting a little bit, because our season was longer than everybody else's. We went all the way to December, while most of the teams finished in October. And so it was just getting a little bit of rest, refreshed my buttons, went back home to Sierra Leone, see my family, and celebrate the end of Ebola with them, and just have a little bit of, you know, joyful time with them, and then I came back into preseason.
Who are some of the players this season that you're really looking forward to playing?
I would have to say I'm looking forward to playing against a lot of teams, really, because it's a very competitive league this year. It's always been, you know, in the past few years, so we're looking forward to challenging a lot of teams, because a lot of teams want to play against us, and a lot of teams know, you know, we play one of the beautiful, you know, soccer and competitive soccer in America. But yeah, at the same time, yeah, there's big names of players in this league now, as the Didier Drogba, Frank Lampard, Jovinko, David Villa, and all those names. I mean, yeah, you can say you look forward to play against them, but to me, really, I just look forward to playing against all the different teams.
So last year, you won the MLS Works Humanitarian of the Year Award. So what did that mean to you?
It's an honor to be recognized as a humanitarian. You know, to me, it's not a job. I'm just being myself, helping out here in America and helping out in Sierra Leone, or just helping out even when I work with Right to Play, when we travel to places like Liberia, Peru, and just different countries. You know, it's part of me, and I'm really happy when I'm involved into doing these things. I don't feel like it's a job. So, but definitely to be honored as a Humanitarian of the Year last year, it shows like a little bit of respect, saying, you know, we appreciate what you do. I'm not going to stop doing it, and I'm not going to keep doing it just to win awards. I'm just doing it because that's just part of me, and that's, you know, it makes me feel good.
So what would you say is your greatest achievement as a player?
It's really out there. It's really random. For soccer, definitely, you know, greatest achievement has to be, you know, just becoming a professional soccer player. You know, I came into America at the age of 16. I said to myself, by the age of 19, I wanted to go to college, which I did. And then by the age of 21, I want to play professional soccer, which I did. So all those are just, you know, really, really good achievement. And obviously then later on making another goal for myself, saying I want to play in England, which I did, playing for Norwich. And so it's amazing. But achievement in life, I have to, you know, say right now, it's you know, having my little girl, you know, having the child last year was definitely one of the greatest achievements I've had.
How did that change your life? Did that change your perspective on things a little bit, having your first child?
It does. It's a beautiful thing. Obviously, growing up in Africa, we all know all our families are really big, you know, having extended family or just, you know, near family. But definitely when you have your child of your own, everything changes, you know, become humble to it. And for me, it's a girl. So they say when you have a girl, you treat her like a princess. And that's what I'm doing. And she gets the best part of me, you know, the soft side of me. It's good to on the field. off the field, because it keeps me grounded. It keeps me more rest, you know, off the field, because I'm home most of the time and spending time with her. And so when I'm ready to get back on the field, then I'm always ready.
Arguably, you have some of the best goal celebrations in the league.
Thank you.
How do you come up with these celebrations?
Oh man, it's part of my personality. I love to dance. I love to have fun. I love to connect with my teammates. So it's just definitely part of my personality. I watch soccer all around the world, you know, and my celebration is not just soccer related. It's just about just life, you know, music. I'm, you know, listening to music and all the musicians out there and what they do, what they dance and all that. So when I'm on the field, you know, I try to implement that. But before I could, you know, celebrate, you know, have to score a goal. And obviously most of my celebrations, I try to involve some of my teammates in it, because maybe not a lot of people are that creative as me, but, you know, if I can involve them into it, it really does help and brings the team chemistry together.
So do you watch any NCAA basketball?
NCAA basketball, no, I'm not a big fan. I went to a small school in California, Division II, so we never made, you know, the bracket or, you know, the big ones. But a lot of my teammates are into it, but not me. But if I have to support a team right now, I have to say it's have to be KU, Kansas basketball team.
What's funny is Monmouth, their bench has some of the best celebrations. It's been all over ESPN.
I'll have to look them up and some of their celebrations.
All right. Well, thanks for talking to us today. Good luck on everything. I see you already got one goal. So hopefully you can lead the league again and top last year and keep getting better and maybe winning a championship.
Thank you very much, Rick. I appreciate you. Thanks for having me. And, yeah, God bless. Hopefully we talk again soon.
That's Kai Kamara, the striker for Sierra Leone and the Columbus Crew in Major League Soccer. And Kai was talking with VOA's Rick Narciss by telephone from Columbus, Ohio. Meanwhile, Rick is also guest blogger this week at the Sunny Side of Sports blog. The address is blogs.voanews.com/sunny. Rick writes about Malian player Sheck Jalo of the University of Kansas, which is the number one overall seed in the annual National Collegiate Athletic Association Division I Men's Basketball Championship Tournament. Turning to athletics, the 16th IAAF World Indoor Championships officially open later Thursday night in the northwestern U.S. city of Portland, Oregon. I asked track analyst Parker Pick Up the Pace Morse about the venue in Portland.
They have made a custom track for this event, which is in the Oregon Convention Center. Before they moved into the convention center, they actually set up the track in a vacant warehouse in downtown Portland to try it out and make sure everything fit together. And for a couple of weeks, they opened the track up to the general public, workout groups, high school kids. They had it all ready to go in this abandoned warehouse. There are actually pillars in the infield of the track because of the warehouse, and there are some interesting pictures of the pillars are marked for forklifts with signs that say speed limit 5 miles per hour.
And Parker, I know a few of the African athletes will definitely exceed that speed limit. Can you spotlight a few of the Africans who we should be watching in Portland?
There are three big races, and of course, with the dominance of Kenya and Ethiopia in the distance races, the men's and women's 3,000 meters are both going to be very interesting races. In particular, the men's 3,000 meters is going to be another matchup of that classic long-running rivalry between Kenya and Ethiopia. Kenya has put up the defending champion, Augustine Choge, Isaiah Koech, and Caleb Ndiku. Caleb Ndiku is probably the only entrant with his own rap theme. if you look on YouTube, you can find Run Caleb Ndiku. And Ethiopia has two entrants, Dejan Gebremesko, who had a pretty hot 3,000 in Boston a couple of weeks ago. Yomif Kajelcha won the World Junior Championships 2 years ago, just down the road from Portland in Eugene. In the women's 3,000, Genzebe Dibaba has been on a world record tear for several years. It's hard to find a way that somebody can beat her. She has the finishing speed to outkick just about anybody. On the other hand, Ethiopia has also entered Meseret Defar, who is back on the track after several years away. Defar won the women's 3,000 at World Indoors four times. And Kenya has Betsy Saina and Nancy Chepkwemoi entered in that race. Finally, the men's 1500 meters has all three medalists from 2014 returning: Ayanle Suleiman from Djibouti, Aman Wolte from Ethiopia, and Abdulati Igwida from Morocco. It is possible that Igwida will run the 3,000 instead of the 1,500. Also, Bethwell Bergen of Kenya in that race, a very deep race and could go any number of ways.
Thanks, Parker. That's track analyst Parker Pick Up the Pace Morse, who's covering the IAAF World Indoor Championships in Athletics in Portland, Oregon. And we'll hear more from Parker on Friday's show. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sunny. Good to be with you.
What's trending in the sports world on this Thursday?
Hashtag family first. Now, this isn't necessarily something you'd think about as a sports trending hashtag, but it is trending in the sports world because of baseball player Adam LaRoche. Now, LaRoche plays for the Chicago White Sox.
And he used to play right here in Washington.
D.C. for the Nationals. And over the course of spring training, as his team's been kind of warming up for the start of the baseball season, he's had his son, Drake, in the clubhouse with the team.
Okay.
Apparently, this was an issue. Something arose where the team's general manager or president told him, you can't have your son here every day. This isn't a daycare center. So LaRoche went, and he was owed $13 million in this year that he was about to play for the Chicago White Sox, and he up and quit and said, I'm done. I'm walking away from $13 million if my son can't be with me here as I do my job. And he tweeted this out with hashtag family first.
Incredible. I really believe, Andrew, there must be more to that story when you're walking away from that kind of money.
There must be something that we're in. I'm sure that we're going to hear more about this. But for right now, what we're seeing is this hashtag family first trending. We had Bryce Harper, who is a star MLB young player, plays for the Nationals, played with Adam LaRoche on the Nationals. He tweeted out and said, great job, good for you. It's a family game. A lot of people coming to Adam LaRoche's support here. And the Chicago White Sox are going to have to do a bit of damage control, it looks like, on social media. They're saying now, well, he was there too much. It's not that we don't want children of players in the clubhouse. It's that he was there every day. So there's a lot of kind of back and forth.
And I did read one quote from a Chicago team official, and I sort of agreed with him. He said, well, let's face it, at most offices, you're not allowed to bring your child every day to the workplace.
And that's what the Chicago White Sox are saying, and a lot of the people on social media are saying, well, maybe he was bringing him too much, but by and large, there's a lot of support for Adam LaRoche. It's people saying it's a very gutsy move, very courageous move to put your family ahead of $13 million. Maybe a little, you know, a silly move perhaps, but it's nice that he can walk away from that and afford to walk away from that. But certainly there's going to hear more about that.
Well, now, Andrew, Adam LaRoche has more time to watch March Madness.
Absolutely. It's a great segue there. He has more time to watch March Madness because it kicked off today. The 64 teams that are participating in the NCAA men's basketball tournament. And I found something interesting from this company, Blue Fountain Media. And what they did was they looked at which teams they predict to win based on their social media following. So they took their Facebook likes, comments, and shares, their Instagram likes and comments, their Twitter likes and retweets, and divided those numbers by the number of followers for each of those social media. And they determined what their audience engagement score was for each of the 64 schools that are in the tournament.
So it's kind of based on activity, how active you are.
Right, and how
media.
Well those schools can engage with their audiences. So they fill out a bracket based on that, and they have, I'm sorry to say, hey, it's not Michigan winning. They have Duke, the overall winner.
Duke again.
They say that Duke is the best at engaging their audience, engaging
what
their social media followers. So we'll see if this holds out. But they said that this could be a guide for people to fill out their brackets. Well, incidentally, Duke is actually playing right now as we speak against UNC Wilmington. So that game is kicking off the start of the tournament.
An all-North Carolina matchup.
So we'll see if Duke can repeat as national champions. They're going going to have a lot of hurdles in their way. But as far as social media is concerned, Duke is the champion.
And who's the final four in terms of social media, Andrew?
Well, they have Kansas, who's the overall number one, facing off against Duke on one side of the bracket. The other side, they have Kentucky and Michigan State. So those four schools are the top four in engaging their audiences on social media.
Interesting. Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Thanks for joining us again, Andrew.
Thank you.
And I'll see you on Friday. I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.